And as children go to children's church, I want to, don't open your Bibles. Take this yellow insert, and this is a test. Find a pen, find a pencil. Let's take a couple of minutes and see if you can write the Ten Commandments. You don't have to write every single word, but see if you can write the Ten Commandments. That's generally the easiest way to learn them. However, see if you can write the Ten Commandments. Just take a couple of minutes and start writing. Just wanted to try an experiment this morning. I guess we could play the Final Jeopardy music, you know. Bum, 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 bum. We'll talk about 11 a little bit later. We'll talk about number 11 shortly. While some of you continue to write, in spite of living in a country with supposedly strong Judeo-Christian values, Americans and even evangelical Christians were recently found to do less than a stellar job when it came to the Ten Commandments on a survey. In fact, they were more familiar with the ingredients in a Big Mac and with Brady Bunch children than they were with the Ten Commandments. 80% of those who responded in this survey knew two all beef patties, special sauce, were part of the ingredients of the Big Mac, and most of them knew two all beef patties, special sauce, and more. However, only 60% could identify "Thou shalt not kill" as coming from the Ten Commandments. So, see, I just gave you one if you didn't already have that one down. And 43% of respondents, including those who said that they attend worship regularly, could recall two of the least used names in the Brady Bunch, Peter and Bobby Brady. While only 34% could recall, remember the Sabbath as coming from the Ten Commandments, and only 29% could recall, "You shall not make any graven images or false idols." I saw that hand. That hand went and started writing. I regularly find that students of all ages can neither write all of the Ten Commandments nor the Lord's Prayer. I get all kinds of strange things that pass for the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going to ask you to pass these in for a grade or anything. We shout about all that's wrong in the land. We shout about all that's wrong in church. And yet, we don't participate regularly enough in study and worship and really know our book. And we call ourselves people of the book. That is the Bible. I'm not going to ask how many of you get all ten of them. You can open your Bibles and look now if you want to see how you did. And we're going to talk briefly about them. What one child called the Shout-Nots. Seriously, there was one child that when his mom was shouting at the family over something, he said, "Mom, stop that. The Bible says, thou shalt not." S-H-O-U-T. I've also added an 11th line, as one astute person mentioned a moment ago, because there is actually another commandment, an 11th commandment, that is of the utmost importance for our lives and in the Bible, and we'll look at that later on. So let's begin. Actually, part of the Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue, is the introduction. If you look at Exodus chapter 20, and you look at the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." There is a reminder, first of all, in these commandments, that God is the one who has power, and God is the one who exercises loving care in rescuing His people in times of difficulty. And yet, far too often, when asked about the commandments, we say, "What commandments?" Or we get all worked up about posting them here or there when we really don't even know them, much less understand them. Now, I will translate this particular one a little bit differently, though, than we usually do. "You shall have no other gods before or besides me." Because, you see, the Hebrew word that we translate "before" also means "besides." If you think about it, technically you can worship God first and then turn around and worship other things as well. Job, money, home, BMW, Mercedes, or whatever. Without technically breaking that commandment. I do not believe that the Hebrew choice of words is an accident in any way, shape, or form, because I think it captures the essence of the command. The first command that is supposed to be foundational for our living as God's children and living productive lives. God is to be worshipped first, and God is to be worshipped only. You shall have no other gods before or besides me. God is saying, I'm to be number one and I'm to be the only one. There are no others to be worshipped. And if we neglect that first commandment, then we really do not have the foundation we need to keep the others or to live as God would have us to live. The second commandment, "You shall make no graven images," or no false idols, "of anything that is in the earth, on the earth, above the earth." Many religions, even today, have images and idols that become objects of worship. Of course, the Hebrews here in Exodus, very shortly after this time, while Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments, go about making an image, an idol, a golden bull. The bull, for many religions, over time has been a symbol of virility and power. And they didn't feel comfortable if somebody said, "Well, what is your God like?" or "What does your God look like?" to say, "Well, we really don't know. He's out there somewhere. And He's got all this power." We as humans tend to try to put God in a box or narrow God down to a manageable form or a manageable image. And yet God says, "You shall not make those images," those graven images, is actually what the Hebrew says. Why? Because it becomes something that replaces God. Now, a graving tool would be used. It's a carving tool. And if you were an artist and you were making a statue, you put something, or even an artist who does a painting or is a concert pianist, you put so much of yourself into that art that it can very easily become an object of worship. And if God is truly God and we're to worship God first and only, to make an image which then becomes an object of worship breaks that relationship. Because you see, that relationship of worshiping God first and only, that commandment is relational between God and us. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Not only through curses, but through false swearing, false oaths. We most often think of cursing when we think of taking God's name in vain. And while that is a part of what is meant, another part of what is meant is taking an oath, swearing an oath by the name of God, asking God to verify that that oath is true when it may or may not be. As I've said before, my former professor in seminary, Rick Spencer, said that far too often the way Christians take the name of God in vain is to claim to be a Christian and then not live like one. And that's the easiest way that we regularly break that commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you work and do your labor, but the Sabbath, the seventh day, is a day of rest. It's a day in which we pause to worship God and to recognize that we need that kind of rest and renewal, not just physically, but especially spiritually. Now, the first four of these commands deal with our relationship with God. You'll notice each one of these has something to do with how we relate vertically, our relationship with God. The remainder of them deal with horizontal relationships. Now, for the Hebrews, in recording this, the understanding was you cannot have a proper relationship with other folks horizontally if, first of all, there is not that proper relationship vertically with God. You can't reverse it. You can't start the relationship with other folks and then say, oh, by the way, now I'll start to worship God, and truly have that kind of life that we are meant to live. Rather, our vertical relationship must be proper first. And so that's why we find these first four foundational commandments dealing with relationships with God. The next six deal with our relationships with others. And the first and foremost of those deals with family. It's the first one of the commandments that doesn't say something in the negative. Rather, it is a positive statement. You shall honor your father and your mother. The foundational piece of the family relationship, and subsequently our relationship with the rest of family, is the most important of human relationships. Now, I know we don't always get along in families. Yet, that kind of love, that kind of honor and respect that we should have for each other is so important that it's something we should not ever totally lose or neglect if we are to live as God would have us to live. You shall not kill. Literally, the Hebrew word means murder. And if you go into the covenant codes further over in Exodus, you'll find that there are provisions for killing in time of war. There are provisions for capital punishment, although I'm not so sure we'd always want to do those. Whoever curses father or mother shall be put to death. Whoever strikes father or mother shall be put to death. Those are kind of harsh. But the understanding is that you don't do things to try and destroy other folks, not just physically. That's what we think about so much. But we can also murder relationships. We can also murder relationships. So much of Hebrew thought, especially with religious leaders, was on keeping the letter of the law. But Jesus in the New Testament says, I've come to show you the intent of the law. Not just the letter, but what goes to the heart of the matter. You shall not kill or commit murder. Yes, you shall not commit murder physically, but you should not commit murder in relationships either. You shall not commit adultery, which includes fornication. And if you do, it might lead to the one before, right? Committing murder. But once again, adultery destroys family. It destroys that relationship with family. You shall not steal. Take things that are not your own, whether they be monetary, other materials, or stealing from relationships. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Came out of the law court system initially, the whole idea of swearing falsely against somebody so that you get the advantage over them and they get in trouble. Later on in the New Testament era, when the church was being persecuted, some of the early church writers record that all it took was somebody bearing false witness against you that you might be a Christian to get you arrested and persecuted. But once again, each of these things destroys not only relationships with other folks, but they destroy relationship with God. You shall not covet. And as I said, we're not going to deal a lot with each of these. Just touch on them today because they are foundational and general guidelines for living. But you shall not covet. Our David said that if he ever won the lottery or came into a windfall, the first thing he would buy is the Aston Martin from Goldfinger, complete with the machine guns behind the headlights and the oil slick that comes out the back and all that kind of stuff. And that would be a pretty neat car to have. To want it is one thing. But to absolutely overwhelmingly desire something so that it becomes the primary focus of everything you think about and do is to covet. And really, if you break, and of course it says don't covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's servants, etc. There's so many things that we can covet to that point. So desire that it becomes our major focus that what does actually breaking the 10th commandment, what other commandment does it break? It comes full circle because it becomes godlike to you and you have something else that you worship other than God. Now, these are good general guidelines for living. I often say to folks who say, oh, we need to post the Ten Commandments here and there. Well, if you're a Christian, what better thing if you're going to put up something than the Beatitudes? But they get a little more difficult to keep. Right? But these are good general guidelines for living. But there is an 11th commandment, Ed, which is foundational for Christians. It is really at the heart of the Ten Commandments. It's at the heart of the Beatitudes. It's at the very heart of living as a Christian. Can anybody tell me what the 11th commandment might be? No? Yeah. And loving the golden rule and loving God with all of these are great things and they do help us. But in John chapter 13, starting in verse 34, Jesus with his disciples says, I give to you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. All of these other things are part of good Christian living and part of living out that commandment, going and making disciples and teaching. Loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Really, that is summing up the Ten Commandments. Loving God first, and then loving neighbor. But that 11th commandment, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Yet far too many Christians... Far too many Christians fail to remember that commandment and keep it sometimes even less than keeping the Ten Commandments, as they refuse to forgive, as they neglect the needs of others, as they hold grudges, as they neglect even cursory Bible study, much less serious study, as they neglect to gather to worship together, to sing praises to God and to pray for each other. We oftentimes are more interested in other things than in lives of worship. And yet, Jesus calls us to shout out that love. What commandments? Well, we have at least 11. But the greatest of those is, "You shall love even as I have loved you." That Christ who came even when we were enemies, that Christ who came even when we refused to follow, that Christ who came and said of those who crucified Him, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." It is that to which we are called when we talk about commandments. So I hope you did well on writing the Ten Commandments, but even more so, I hope we do well in keeping the 11th commandment, that others may know God's love, because we love even as Christ loves us. Our hymn of decision before we gather at table is hymn number 592. Jesus calls us. That call does come. And that call is not just to come and to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, but Jesus calls us to keep those commandments. "Observing everything I've commanded you," He says, but especially that new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. That's Christ's call for you and for me. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Number 592, Jesus calls us.